Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody. He loves you.
Wish everyone a happy Sunday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord, that where he is, we can be also. We thank God for another awesome day that he has made. And then we know that man can claim a lot of things, but he can't make a day. And we thank God for this day, the day that he's brought us that we have never seen and the day we'll never see again. So we thank him for his new mercies on today. We thank him for how he kept us from last week to this week. We thank him that he woke us up in our right mind, that he started us on our way, that we had food on our table, that we had roof over our head, that we were able to put one foot in front of the other, and we were able to say, truly, God has been good to me. Down through the years, the Lord truly has been good to me. And so we thank God for being good and being God all by himself. We're going to open up this morning with a word of prayer. I'm going to ask Reverend Sykes this morning if she could lead us in a word of prayer. Good morning, Reverend Sykes.
Good morning, Pastor. Good morning, everyone. Let us pray. Father, I stretch my hands to thee. No other help I know. If thou wilt withdraw thyself from thee, Lord, where shall I go? And Father, we come this morning before your throne of mercy and grace with thanksgiving in our hearts and with praise on our lips. And Father, we come this morning, Father, invoking the presence of your Holy Spirit into this worship service on this morning. You and you alone, Father, are worthy. You're worthy to be praised, Father God. And so, Father, we thank you this morning, Father God, for who you are and what you are in all of our lives. Thank you, Father God, for your hand of protection that covers us daily. Thank you, Father, for the love, for your love, your goodness, and your faithfulness. For morning by morning, new mercies we see. Mm-hmm. All that we have need of, your hand has graciously provided, and great is your faithfulness unto us. Thank you for the strength that you give each of us each day. Touch the hearts and the minds and the spirits of mankind everywhere this morning. And, Father, there are many challenges that we face as a nation, that we face as families, that we face as communities, and that we face as individuals. And so, Father, we come this morning, Father God, knowing that the pressures of life sometimes, they weigh us down, Father. But we know that you, oh God, are concerned, and that you are working it out for us, Father. And so, Father, we look to you this morning, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And we know that you can mend the broken pieces of our lives. So we cast our cares upon you this morning because you care for us. And you are the only one who can change the situations and the circumstances in our lives. We continue, Father God, to pray this morning for all the COVID-19 patients and for those with the other illnesses, Father. We pray this morning, Father, for all communities and families and caregivers this morning and all of our pastors and all of our churches this morning and all of the leaders of our nation this morning, Father, and the servant leaders. We pray for our prayer warriors this morning, Father. Mm-hmm. We pray this morning, Father, for all of our bereaved families, Father God, those who have mental and physical and financial and emotional challenges, Father. We lift them up to you this morning as well, Father. We pray for those that are in hospitals and nursing homes, Father. Allow your healing virtues to flow, oh God, throughout the universe, Father. Somebody this morning, Father, is low in spirit. Father God, they are facing a medical crisis this morning, God. But God, we know that you can give us the strength and give them the strength to hold on to your unchanging hand and continue to persevere, Father God, on this journey that we call life, Lord. And we know that you are a prayer answering God and that you do all things well. And so, Father, we pray this morning for our pastor as well, Pastor Anthony B. Kason, Senior, Father God, and First Lady Kason this morning, God, and the Heart of God Baptist Church, Father, we pray this morning, Father God, for them, Father God. Continue to lead, guide, and direct them, Father. Bless their going out and bless their coming in, Father God. And, Father God, unite our hearts together in love and fellowship this morning, Father. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And to God be the glory for the great things, the marvelous things that he has done and continues to do in all of our lives. We love you. We adore you. We magnify your name and we glorify your name on this day. For this is the day that you have made. And we will and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. And we ask all of this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you. And thanks for a fervent prayer. We know that the prayers of the righteous availeth much. And we thank God for the avenue of prayer because we know prayer is putting us in communication with God. And we know that when we're in communication with God, God can speak to us and God can give us what we need in the time of storm and the time of struggle. So we thank God for this avenue of prayer. Speaking of prayer, there is a song in our hymnal, old song that sing a little slow, but it has a lot of meaning, and that's number 333. And the title of that hymn is Sweet Hour of Prayer. And singing a lot of times, and we have two services in our church that we would sing in the morning. And people were focused in on God. And a lot of times when you get up in the morning, it can give you a lot of chance to get all the crazy stuff of the world going around in your head and time where you can reflect on God. And as we hear the organ play and choir sing sweetly, sweet hour of prayer, people would reflect on their time in prayer and the time of their loved ones when they pray for them. And it's just good to know that we have this avenue of prayer where we can get in touch with God and God can minister to us. And so as we look at this sweet hour of prayer, it reminds us of the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus spent his final hours before he was imprisoned and taken to Judgment Hall and Judgment Hall and eventually crucified for the sins of the world. But he would get away oftentimes to Gethsemane, and he would pray with his Heavenly Father. And so this song is one of the songs that we would sing on Sunday morning and during time of Easter, time of Good Friday services, where we would focus in on how Jesus prayed, how he would get away and pray to his Heavenly Father. So the first verse is, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. Let us sing to the glory of God. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from a world of care and bid me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. And that was a song that we would sing, and it will remind us how God was always with us and how God would always be there to minister to us when we were in trouble and our souls were down. And you look at that verse 3, continues, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, may I thy consolation share till from Mount Higgins the height I view my home and take my flight. This robe of flesh I'll drop and rise to see the everlasting prize, and shall while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer. And there's something about praying to your Heavenly Father early in the morning. There's something about getting in tune with God. There's something about realizing that you're not by yourself. There's something about when you turn it over to God. And I know that down through the years, we've had to realize that there was nobody that could take care of it but God. I'm going to say that again. There was nobody that could take care of the situation but God. So we had to learn to go to him in prayer. When nobody else could fix it, when nobody else was around, we had to learn to go to God in prayer. And I'm a living witness today that God is a prayer answering God, that God has the ability to turn the situation around. I believe I have some witnesses on the line this morning that God has the ability to turn the situation around. The Bible teaches us that we have not because we ask not and that we ask amiss. But when we're in the will of God and we turn to him and ask him to intervene on our behalf, somebody said, I know he'd do it. Somebody said, I've seen him do it. Somebody said, I know he can, and he will work it out on our behalf. And so we thank God that every now and then we go to God with a sweet hour of prayer. Amen. Amen. We thank God today for just allowing us to be able to go to him in prayer. We're going to go to our worshipers this morning. First caller and last four digits 3343. Good morning.
Good morning. Praise the Lord for this morning and for this day that has rose me out of the bed and put me on my feet and opened my eyes up and gave me health and strength and walk on the ground and give me another chance to stay on above this ground and praise his holy name. We said, thank you, Father, for giving me this day. And bless you, dear Father, and we say amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you for your testimony this morning. We're going to go to our next worshiper. Last four digits, 6947, 6947. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. It's good to hear everybody's voice. I'm glad to be on the line. I just wanted to say that I have a praise report. I got a work-from-home job, working at home, little kiddos until they go off to school and daycare. And I just wanted to say that I'm glad to been able, that God bless me to get this job. And I just pray that everybody has a good rest of the week.
Amen, amen. Thank you for your testimony this morning. We're going to go to our next worshiper. Last four digits, 1741. 1741, good morning.
Good morning, Pastor Kayson. God bless you this morning. So good to hear your voice. Praise God. God is a comforter. He is a consoler. And I thank him for that sweet hour of prayer. And I also thank him for being God and God alone, because he's the only one that can console. He's the only one that can comfort. He's the only one that can strengthen. Glory to God. And he's the only one that can heal. Truly, he is good. And so I thank God for his many blessings this morning. And I thank God for you and First Lady, for the heart of God. I thank God for my son and their families and loved ones and friends. And I just thank God for being merciful. And I want to read a few, or just one verse of a song that we sung a lot when I was a child. It was in the garden. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. Mm-hmm. And the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me. And he talks with me, and he tells me that I'm his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. And the second verse says, he speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet. The birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I'm his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. So I just thank God for being that God that take care of every situation, every condition, and every circumstance. He is God, and he is a mighty good God. And I praise him this morning. Hallelujah to his name. Praise him, because God is worthy to be praised.
Yeah.
Hallelujah to his name. God bless you all.
Amen, amen. Thank you for your testimony this morning. We go to our next worshiper, last four digits, 7351. 7351, good morning.
Good morning, Pastor Kayshawn. Good morning, First Lady. And good morning to the Heart of God family. I just want to say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I had someone mention to me that, yes, they pray to the Lord, but they always got, you know, when they start praying, it's because they are complaining. And they take all their complaints to the Lord. Well, that's very, very good. He wants us to do that. He wants us to lean on him because he is the one for us to turn to. But the person was saying, well, wasn't sure whether he listened to that complaint because he just got a whole world. How could he watch out for a whole world? Well, the good Lord built and made this whole world. And so, therefore, he watches over us all. He watches over us all. His eyes are on the sparrow. So please remember, just talk to the Lord at any time. It doesn't ever, ever have to be a complaint. If I step on a stone and trip and almost fall and didn't fall, I say, thank you, Jesus, for not letting me fall. So just talk about good things to the Lord sometime. But always, always know that you can lean on him. God bless everybody. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you for your testimony this morning. Go to our next worshiper. Last four digits, 7971. 7971, good morning.
Holds the key to our in our lives. It's good to be here to say and be able to express the goodness of the Lord and what he has done and what he continues to do in our lives. You all be blessed. Continue to love the Lord. Let him lead you and guide you. Have a blessed week and continue to do the will of the Lord. Thank you all. Be blessed.
Yeah.
Praise God, church. Good morning, Pastor, First Lady. I want to thank God for you and for my church. I just want to give thanks unto the Lord, for he is so good. He is good all the time.
Yes, he is.
He's given me the strength to endure and realize that he is first. He loves us first. And I truly love the Lord.
Yeah.
He has moved in my heart and in my spirit to just trust in him. Keep your hands in his hands. And he is the answer. But I'm doing fine, doing good, I'm strong. I'm going to continue to stay strong and be in the Lord that I've always been, the way that I have always been. So you all continue to pray for everyone because we need prayer.
Yes, Lord.
Every praise is to our God. Every praise to our Savior. He is our Savior. He's our deliverer and he is our healer. Every praise is to our God. So to God be the glory for all that he has done and he will continue to do in all of our lives. You all continue to enjoy your day. Pray we'll enjoy our service this morning, which is so uplifting to me every Sunday. Be blessed, everyone. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you for your testimony this morning. We're going to go to our next worshiper, last four digits 0025. 0025, you're on there.
Good morning, Pastor. Good morning, everyone. Thank God this morning for his goodness and for his mercy, for his loving kindness. I thank God that he has allowed my aunt to come out of the hospital. She came home on Friday. She's getting better each and every day. Just want to thank God for his healing virtues, for him just continuing to just touch and just heal her body. My cousin is still in the hospital, but she's getting better. And I just thank God because truly God is a good God. Truly God is a great God. And I know for a fact that he is still God. And so I just thank God this morning because down through the years, God has been good not only to me, but he's been good to us. He's been good to all of us, our families and those that are connected to us. God is just a mighty good God. And so I just thank God this morning for truly real. Jesus is real to me. And I just thank him this morning, and I just bless his name, and I praise his name. And I'm reminded of scripture in the Bible, Isaiah 40. I believe it's Isaiah 40 and 28. It says, have you not known, have you not heard the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And I thank God for his word on today. For truly God is the everlasting God. And I thank him for the strength that he renews in me, in my family, in my church family, in my pastor and first lady, each and every day. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And I just thank God this morning for truly he is real, and he's still God, and he's still on the throne, and he's still performing miracles each and every day of our lives. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you for your testimony this morning. We are grateful to God for all of the testimonies and all of the continued prayers of the righteous. We want to ask Reverend Lindsay to get ready to lead us in prayer this morning. Pray for our First Lady. She's a little under the weather this morning, but we had prayer with her, and we're trusting God, amen, believing God, faith in God that he's going to bring her out. But we know that God is the one that will bring us out. So that's who we have to turn to. So pray not only for First Lady, but all of our brothers and sisters in Christ, all of the churches that are open in the name of Jesus. Pray for those who are in the military and standing guard all over the world. Pray for all of our congressmen and women and senators, and for our president and vice president. Pray for all of our scientists and all of our teachers and all of our school children all around this world, that they would be able to know that God is still in control, and that they would have a peace of mind, that they will be able to continue to strive for excellence in God, and that God would be able to guide them in whatever ways they would go, and that God holds the reins. Amen. Amen. So I ask Reverend Lindsay to get ready to lead us in prayer. Reverend Lindsay.
Let us pray. Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has set thy glory above the heavens? We thank you, Father God. We come to you this morning with praise and thanksgiving in our hearts. And we come, Father, just being grateful for another new month, another new Sunday. We thank you, oh God, because truly you've been mighty good and you've been mighty faithful unto us. In spite of what we have done, you have been true to your word. And so we come this morning with grateful hearts. First of all, we just want to say thank you. And second, we just want to ask that your forgiveness of any sin, any word, any doubt, any disbelief, any thought, anything that we might said or done that hasn't been pleasing in your sight. Oh, God, we come this morning just asking for your forgiveness, Father. We ask, oh, God, that as you look on our hearts, Father, that you will cleanse us from all unrighteousness, oh God, that you will draw us closer, cross. And Father God, as you draw us closer, Father God, through the power of your Holy Spirit, oh God, Father God, that as you cleanse us, oh God, and sanctify us through your word and through your blood, Father God, that you will continue to fill us with more and more of your love and more of your spirit, oh God, that we will be more and more like you, Father. Oh God, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you will look on our hearts and keep us humble and meek and forever seeking your face and being mindful of your goodness, oh God, and what you have done for us and how you have brought us a mighty long ways. Because without you on our side, Father, we would not be able to make it, Father God. We wouldn't be able to do anything without you, Lord Jesus. So we thank you this morning. We thank you for your hand of mercy. We thank you for your hand of grace. And Father God, I pray that you would look on Pastor Kayson in a special manner this morning, that you would strengthen him and be with him, oh God. Father God, as he prepared to bring a word from you, oh God, I pray that you would just touch our hearts and open up our eyes spiritually, oh God, that we might be able to see, open up our ears, that we might be able to hear the preached word. But most of all, Father God, give us understanding that as we receive the word, we will be able to comprehend it and be able to live the word the way that you would have us to live, oh God. Father God, we need you, Father God. We need you in everything that we do, Father. So, Father God, we pray that through the preached word, oh God, that it would help us to grow spiritually, Father, and to be better servants unto you. And then, Father God, we pray that you look on First Lady in a special manner this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Father God, I pray for First Lady Kayson. I pray, oh God, that you touch her body, oh God. Father God, you know what she's standing in the need of. And we know you as healer, we know you as Lord, and we know you as Savior. And we know that nothing is impossible with you. So we pray, oh God, that you will strengthen her, Father God. Father God, we pray not only you strengthen the physical body, but Father God, you will strengthen the spiritual body, morally and financially and mentally, oh God.
Mm-hmm,
Father
mm-hmm.
God, we pray, Lord Jesus, that you look on the first family, that you continue to bless them. Not only look on their children, but look on their grandchildren. And then, Father God, we pray for our church. We pray for the Heart of God Baptist Church in its entirety. We pray, oh God, that you would look on our senior members this morning. Look on Papa and Mama Richardson in a special manner this morning.
Yeah,
we pray, oh God, that you would build them up where they're torn down. Father God, that you will continue to be their healer and their strength. And then, oh God, we have members, Father God, that are preparing, Father God, to go through various types of surgeries, various types of sickness
mm-hmm.
that they're going through. We pray, oh God, that you would look on Sister Jewel, Sister Stevens is a special man.
Yeah.
Oh God, that you would touch, continue to heal and touch her body. Father God, we thank you for her spirit, oh God, her words that she spoke this morning that was encouragement to others, oh God. Continue
mm-hmm.
to strengthen her and her family. Continue to look on Trustee Randolph. Be with her, oh God, the caretaker, oh God. Continue to strengthen and heal her, oh God, and continue to look on Sister Becky, oh God. Father God, we pray, Father God, that you continue to strengthen all our church members, oh God. Look on Reverend Sykes and look on Minister Jameson this morning, oh God.
Mm-hmm.
Strengthen him, oh God. Look on Dick and Bryce this morning, oh God. We know that sometimes she goes through quite a bit of sickness. She doesn't say, oh God. But Father God, continue to heal, continue to strengthen, oh God. And then, Father God, we pray for Trustee Henderson that you will be her strength, that you will be her help, that you will be her mother, oh God, that you will be that friend that sticketh closer than a brother, oh God, that you will be a comforter unto her, oh God. Father God, we pray for our church members, oh God, that are on Facebook and the ones that call in. We very seldom hear Sister Redmond, oh God, and Sister Renee, oh God, and Minister Harris, oh God. These are the members, oh God, we have not forgotten, Father God. So we put their names around the altar this morning, oh God. Look on them in a special manner. Look on their children and their families in a special manner, oh God. And then, Father God, I pray for every member of the Heart of God, Father God. You know what they stand in the need of this morning, Father God.
Yes, you do.
Father God, some just need some peace. Some need financial blessings. Some need healing. Some just need a closer relationship with you. Whatever the need is this morning, Father God, I pray through your preach word that you will reach them, that you will heal them, that you will deliver them, and that you will comfort them, oh God, because you and you alone is the only one that can meet their needs. And then, Father God, I pray for our children. I pray for our teens. I pray for our babies.
Yeah.
I pray for the teachers, oh God. I pray for students everywhere. I pray for young adults everywhere. Father God, I pray for those, Father God, that are in hospitals and in nursing homes, those that are convalescing at home. Oh God, I pray that you would touch them this morning. And then, Lord Jesus, I pray for our country. I pray for those that are on foreign soil, that you will be their strength. I pray for essential workers everywhere. I continue to pray, oh God, for those that are sick and afflicted with COVID-19, oh God. I pray that you strengthen, that you heal, that you touch, oh God. And then, Father God, we're not just asking you, but we thank you this morning. We thank you for every person that you have healed. We thank you for the vaccine that you have provided. We thank you for the food and the clothing and the shelter, oh God, that you have given us, Father. And then, Father God, we thank you for a reasonable portion of health and strength. We thank you just to be able to get up this morning, just to be able to get on this line this morning. We don't take it for granted, Father God. We are so grateful, Father, that you've given us one more day. In spite of the pains, in spite of the affliction, in spite of the tribulations, Lord Jesus, you have given us one more time, Father. And we're grateful for that this morning, Father God. And, oh, God, as we, Father God, prepare to hear from you, oh, God, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you, Father God, will get all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise, Father God, and that your name will be lifted up.
Your name.
That you will draw all men unto you through the preached word, oh God. As you draw them, Lord Jesus, I pray, Father, that you will heal, strengthen, and deliver. And we thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for everything. We thank you for being our God. We thank you for being a prayer answering God. We thank you, Father God, because you are God and you are God alone. And we give you glory, we give you honor, and we give you praise, Father. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that as we decrease, Lord Jesus, that your Holy Spirit, Father, will come forth. Hallelujah, Jesus. Have your will and have your way, Father, because somebody need to hear from you this morning, Lord Jesus.
Yes, yes.
Oh, God, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you will strengthen your people, oh, God, that you will be with your people, oh, God, as they go throughout this week, oh, God. Oh, Father God, help them, Father, that you and you alone, Father God, will be their testimony this week, oh, God, that they only done it through you, Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Father. We thank you. We love you, and we bless you, and we praise you because of everything that you do, Father, because you do all things well. And we thank you for these and all blessings. In your darling son Jesus' name I pray, amen, amen, and amen.
Amen, amen, and amen. Thanks, Reverend Lindsay. Fervent prayer. Thank everyone for just continuing to stay in prayer. Amen. We thank God for we know that he is the prayer answering God. Thank God for all of the testimonies and what God is doing and is continuing to do in all of our lives. I'm going to go to the Word of God this morning. And the Word of God finds us today in the book of James, the New Testament book of James. And I'm going to go through the fifth chapter. We're also going to be looking at some of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and finally 2 Corinthians in that fifth chapter. But we'll start in James, and be reading from the King James Version, fifth chapter, beginning at verse 13, beginning at verse 13. This is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing song. Is any sick among you? Let him call on the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And verse 15 says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he had committed sin, they shall be forgiven him. And verse 16 goes on to say, confess your faults one to another and pray one another that ye may be healed. Effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And verse 17 says, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. In verse 18, it says, and he prayed again. And the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. And in verse 19, it says, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he is converted to sinner from the error of his way, shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. So this is James closing out his letter to the church. James was a half brother of Jesus, and he wrote a practical letter that we could apply to our lives. And he's writing to the church and he's letting them know about prayer and about sin and about the heaven that gave rain. And so as we look for a title to the sermon today, we'll take it from the 15th verse, that chapter 5, verse 15. It talks about, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And we want to go with a title that prayer and faith still work. Prayer and faith still work. Let us, merciful God, our Father, we thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to stand and to declare your word. Father, I ask that you will forgive me of my sins, O God, that you will be faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. O God, that I might be a pure vessel used by you. O God, that the sinners will be converted, the saints will be edified, but most of all, God, you would receive honor and glory to your name. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, and with thanksgiving I'll be a living sanctuary, Lord, for you. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, and with thanksgiving I'll be a living sanctuary, Lord, for you. Hallelujah. Prayer and faith still work. Prayer and faith still work. In this last chapter of the book of James, James is letting the church know that prayer and faith still work. So we asked this question, where did James learn about this prayer and where did James learn about this faith? And the question asked us who have often prayed and prayed in faith to God, where did we learn about this thing called prayer and faith? And my brothers and sisters, as we look back through the Bible, we are reminded that from the beginning of the time of man, that man has turned to God in prayer and faith. James goes on in chapter 5 to mention, to bring about the prophet Elias in verse 17. He let us know, amen, that Elijah was just like us, that he was a man subject to passions just like we are, it says in that verse 17. And it says that he earnestly prayed for something, and he earnestly prayed that it would not rain for a period of time, amen, of 3 years and 6 months. And through his prayer of faith and in God, it did, the record says, it did not rain for a space of 3 years and 6 months. In other words, the prayer and the faith that Elijah had, amen, was recognized by God, and God allowed, amen, the prayer that Elijah uttered, amen, to come to fruition. And then it goes on to say in verse 18, it says, and he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. And so not only did he pray for it not to rain, and God answered his prayer of faith, but he also prayed, amen, for it to rain, and God answered that prayer of faith. In other words, Elijah knew about prayer and faith, and James knew about prayer and faith. And as we go through the Bible, there are many characters, amen, that know about prayer and faith. But the one that we need to focus in on, and we're going to focus in on this morning, is the one that came down through 42 generations, the one that was called Mary's baby, the one that was called the lily of the valley, the one that was called Jesus. How did he handle, amen, praying in faith? And why did he have to go and pray in faith? And the reason that Jesus had to pray in faith is because he came down through those 42 generations. The book of John, the Gospel of John, says that he was the Word, and the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And so because Jesus, who is the Word of God, took upon the form of man, amen, sinful man, amen, he had to deal with the worldly challenges, the worldly ups, the worldly downs, the worldly temptations, yet without sin. So you say, well, how did he do it? How did he deal with it? And the record clearly indicates and shows to us that Jesus dealt with the pull of the flesh, the pull of the struggle, of the temptation of the world, the pull of the sin of the world through prayer and faith in God. And so, my brothers and sisters, I would say to us this morning that in order for us to deal with the situations and the circumstances of this world, that we need to follow the example of Jesus, that we should turn to God in prayer and faith, and realize that when we turn to God in prayer and faith, that God will honor our faith, amen, and that God will answer our prayer, amen, and that God would get the glory. And so if we look at the Gospels of Jesus Christ, the four Gospels, the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all of them give the account of Jesus in his last part of his earthly ministry, where he was getting ready to be betrayed by his disciple Judas and be arrested by the priests and the Pharisees of that day, that Jesus, amen, had to turn to prayer in order for the spiritual man, amen, to be able to overcome the physical man so that God's will could be done in his life. And just like Jesus, we have to understand that we have a spirit on the inside also, a spirit man, a Holy Spirit that is on the inside that will allow us to be able to deal with the challenges, the temptations, the ups and the downs in the struggle of this world, but be able to do it in the manner that it's not our will, but God's will that is being done. Because when we do it in the spirit realm, we understand that God's will be done and that God knows what's best for us. And when we follow his leading, amen, the situation will turn out the way he wants it to turn out and that he would get the glory. But that doesn't negate the fact that we're still in the flesh. We're still in these bodies. We still have ups and downs. We still have trials and tribulations. But Jesus demonstrated to us, Jesus taught us how to deal with the ups, the downs, the situations, and the circumstances. And what Jesus did was he would get away and that he would pray to his Heavenly Father. And I don't know if I've ever taught anything so important to us church, is that Jesus, amen, is the one who sets the example on earth how to deal with the things that we go through in earth. In other words, we can look to Jesus as an example, amen, of how to deal with what's going on in our lives. In other words, Jesus did not, amen, come to this world to demonstrate to us, amen, just any old thing, but he came to demonstrate to us how we can have life and have it more abundantly. And if we would follow his example, we will be able to experience the power and the presence of God in our life. And so what he did was he often went to the Lord in prayer. If you look at John, the Gospel of John, the 18th chapter, it talks about Jesus going often to God. And my brothers and sisters, in order for us to be able to overcome the temptations, the trials, the tribulations, the ups and the downs of this world, we have to follow the example of Jesus, that he went often in prayer and faith to God. If we look at John, the 18th chapter, beginning at verse 1, it says, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went with his disciples over to the brook Cedron, where was a garden, into the which he entered and his disciples. And in verse 2, it says, and Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus' time resorted thither with his disciples. In other words, Jesus had to get away to pray. It just observed as we studied on last week about the Passover. He had just observed the Passover the last time, and he had prayed for his disciples in John chapter 17 and verse 15. He says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou should keep them from the evil. He says in verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. He says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. In verse 18, he says, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Verse 20 says, neither I pray for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. In other words, Jesus prayed for us before he surrendered or sacrificed his life. He prayed for those that were with him and those that would come behind those that were with them, that not that they would be taken out of the world, but they will be delivered from evil. In other words, Jesus prayed the prayer of faith, amen, that God would heal us, that God would deliver us, that God would sanctify us. Before he went to Calvary's cross, he prayed for us. He prayed to our Heavenly Father. And then he went on to deal with the sacrifice that he would have to deal with in order to save us from the power and the penalty of sin. And so when you go to that 18th chapter of the same book or same Gospel of John, Jesus is getting away to pray. Jesus has already prayed for his disciples. He's already prayed for us. Now he's getting away to pray with his disciples that he would be able to carry out, amen, the final plan for his life on this earth. In other words, Jesus understood the power of prayer, that it would help him to be able to handle and do the things that God wanted him to do. It wasn't an easy task. It wasn't a something that came easy, but he understood that if he went to God in prayer and in faith, that God would give him the strength to be able to do it. When we look at this thing in our lives, there's so many times, amen, where it feels like we can't make it. There's so many times where we're in struggles and difficulties and challenges in our lives, and we spin our wheels and we worry and we stay up and we do all kinds of things to try to figure it out instead of going to the one that already worked it out, instead of going to God in prayer and faith and trusting God that his will be done and that his will open up the blessings from the kingdom of heaven that will pour out in our lives, that we will be able to receive the blessings from God even in the midst of the situations and circumstances that we're going through. James talked about Elijah, and that Elijah prayed and asked God that it would not rain for 3.5 years, and it didn't rain. And then he prayed again, and it rained again. And what happened is that the heavens opened up and gave the blessing. And so what we want to experience is what Jesus said, and when he prayed in Matthew, the 6th chapter, the Lord's Prayer, that God's will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's the key to our prayer. The key to our prayer is that we would pray that God's will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. In that Matthew, that 6th chapter, that's what Jesus was telling them to pray for. He was telling them to get in tune with God so that when the challenges and the temptations and the struggles of life would come, that we would not succumb to the flesh, but we would go to God in the spirit man and say, God, the flesh is weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, but not my will. Thy will would be done. And when God's will is done, amen, in our lives, amen, God will get the glory and we will be blessed, amen, because God knows what's best for us. So you say, wow, preacher, Jesus had to pray and he encouraged us to pray. And Jesus prayed often and he encourages us to pray often. And I don't know about you, but as I get a little old, I pray a little bit more. Amen. And when you pray a little bit more, amen, you spend a little bit more time with God, because as you get a little older, you got a few more things on your plate. Somebody know what I'm talking about. There's a few more things that you're dealing with. You're not just dealing with yourself. You're dealing with your family. You're dealing with your friends. You're dealing with your kids. You're dealing with your grandkids. You're dealing with your finances. You're dealing with your age. You're dealing with your health. You're dealing with so many things. If you're involved on a job, if you're involved in politics, if you're involved with the PTA, if you're involved with the schools, if you're involved with your neighbors, if you're involved with all these things that you get involved with come with the things of the world that go along with them. And in order for you to be able to deal, in order for you to be able to handle, in order for you to be able to make it through, you need to be able to say, in order for me to do this, I need to follow the example of the Bible, an example of Jesus, to be able to pray and have faith, amen, because prayer and faith still work. And as we look at the Gospels, and if you go through your day and this week today, look at the Gospels, and that's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, of Jesus' time in the Garden of Gethsemane, in Matthew 26, verses 36 through 56. You'll see Jesus prayed a prayer that if the cup would pass from him, if it was possible that that cup, that he would have to go and suffer and die for the sins of the world. He said, if it be possible, let that cup pass from me. And prayed that prayer twice, and he realized that it was not his will, but God's will would be done. But read that Matthew account of Jesus's time in the Garden of Gethsemane in Matthew 26, verses 36 through 56. And then if you also look at the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, verses 32 through 52, you see that Jesus also reiterates that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And that verse 38, and if you go to Luke, the Gospel of Luke, according to the Gospel of Luke, and you take account of the Gospel of the Garden of Gethsemane, you'll see that in verse 43 of that chapter 22, 40 through 53, that in verse 43, Jesus is strengthened by an angel. And then finally, if you look at John 18 through 11 through 1 through 11, you'll see that Jesus is also talking about going often to the Garden of Gethsemane. So when you go often to the Garden of Gethsemane and you pray, as it says in Matthew, for the cup to pass, but you know the cup won't pass, when you recognize, as it says in Mark, that the spirit is willing but the flesh is weak, then you can be assured that in Luke, you can say that the angel of the Lord will strengthen you. And so when the burden is heavy, my brothers and sisters, what we need to do is go to the Lord often, as John would say, and that we would need to present our case that the cup is something that in our flesh that we would have difficulty with. And so, Lord, if you would allow this cup to pass, if there's another way to pass, let it pass, but not my will, but your will would be done. And then we would acknowledge in Mark, the 14th chapter, that our spirit is willing, but our flesh is weak. And when we put those accounts of the Garden of Gethsemane together, we realize that Jesus, amen, was one who understood the power of prayer and faith, that he could realize that he could go there as often as he wanted, and that he could realize he could go there and present his case before the Lord, and that he could go there and realize that he could let the Lord know that he was struggling. And he realized in Luke, the 22nd chapter, in verse 43, that God would send someone, amen, in the person of an angel to strengthen him. And I'm glad today to know, amen, that Jesus set the example that we can go to God often, that we can go to God with our concerns, that we can let God know what our weaknesses are, and that we can depend on God, amen, to send an angel to strengthen us. And I'm going to go over these. I know I've gone over three times. I'm going to go over one more time. In the four Gospels that have the account of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, in four areas, God blessed Jesus to be able to make it through, that he would be able to go on and fulfill the will of God, that he would die for the sins of the world. Jesus was God and man at the same time. And so on his way to the Garden of Gethsemane, he had to take the keys of faith, amen, and keys of prayer, and put it in the lock of faith, amen, in order to receive the blessings from heaven, because prayer is the key and faith unlocks the door. And so Jesus had to go into his spiritual pocket, pull out the prayer key, insert it into the door of faith, and talk to God. On many occasions, he talked to him. And like it says in John 18, tell God that, God, this plan is difficult to do in the flesh. And so if it's possible for this cup to pass, but not my will, your will be done. And God, I want you to know in Luke, amen, in Mark, that God, I'm struggling, but the spirit is strong and the flesh is weak. And in Luke, he would say, I thank you that you sent your angel to give me the strength. And so my brothers and sisters, the reason why we need to go to prayer often, the reason why we need to make our petition known often, the reason why we need to acknowledge, amen, that the spirit is strong and the flesh is weak, the reason why we need to know that God will send an angel to strengthen us, is this is how we move forward, amen, in the kingdom of God, letting God's will be done in our lives, by following the example of Jesus. Jesus was also ministered to in Matthew, the 4th chapter and 11th verse, after he had went out in his earthly ministry, to begin his earthly ministry. And after he had been tested and after he had been tempted by the devil three times, the devil left him and the angels came and ministered to him. And so at the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry in Matthew, the fourth chapter, and at the end of Jesus' ministry, amen, God was still supporting him. God was still allowing his Holy Spirit to and angels to come and to give him support so he could carry out what God's will was for him in his life. And that's the same thing we need to do. Go to God often. Talk to God about the situation. Let God know what your situation is. Let God know that you still need, amen, his angel. So look at that in John 18, going often. Look at that in Matthew, letting you know what your situation is about the wanting the cup to pass. Look at that situation, letting God in Mark 14 know that the flesh is weak, but the spirit is strong. Look at that leading to need the angel of God that strengthened you in Luke 22. Read those things about the Garden of Gethsemane and find your Garden of Gethsemane. And when you find your Garden of Gethsemane, you'll be strengthened by God. You'll be encouraged by God that you can deal with whatever the situation is in your life and realize that prayer still works. That prayer still works. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray in Matthew, the sixth chapter, verses 19 through 13, and we're going to turn there real quick. It's something to see that Jesus wanted us to know about praying to God. Matthew, sixth chapter, and we want to look at verses 9 through 13. It says, "After this manner, therefore, pray you, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." In other words, when we're praying, we're not praying our will, we're praying the will of God. And when Elijah and James prayed the will of God, God allowed it not to rain. And when he prayed again, God allowed it to rain. And so the thing that we want to do is we want the things of God to be done on earth as it is in heaven. We want the kingdom of God to be able to be opened and that the kingdom of God's will be done in our lives. And so when we look at these things, it's important for us to know that God is a prayer answering God. And that if we look to the example of Jesus, he would let us know that God, because he prayed for us, as we looked at that John and he prayed that he didn't take us out of the world, but he delivered us from evil. But there was a special prayer that Jesus prayed. And if we go to John, the 14th chapter, verses 15, 16, and 17. Jesus prayed, amen, that we would have the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside for us to be able to overcome the tests, the trials, the struggles of this world. Not only did he pray for us not to be taken out of this world, but to be able to be protected from this world. In other words, the will of God, God's purpose and plan for us is going to be done. And so Jesus prayed for us to be able to handle that. And then in chapter 14, he prayed to see how that we are going to be able to handle it. John 14, verses 15 through 17. It says, "If you love me, keep my commandments," Jesus is speaking. And verse 16, he said, "And I will pray the Father." Here he is praying again. This key that unlocks the door of heaven. This key, see, "I pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you." How long? Forever. "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him." And this is the key right here. "For he dwelleth with you," and what? "And shall be in you." In other words, Jesus prayed that we will be able to handle the situation, and that he also prayed that God would give us the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, that will help us deal with the situation. And because Jesus prayed that we could handle the situation, that he prayed to the Father that we could deal with the situation, what that lets us know, amen, that if we follow this example, that prayer and faith will still work in every situation. And that is good news. And that's what I want us to encourage us today. Amen. That we don't have to worry, amen, about, amen, God, amen, not carrying out his plan and his purpose in our life. What we have to do is we have to get into a situation, amen, where we pray and ask God, amen, to help us to hold on, amen, until it comes through fruition. In other words, we got to get in front of him often. We got to let him know what we're struggling with. We got to get in front of him and let him know that the flesh is weak, but the spirit is strong. We got to let him know that we're depending on the power of the angels and the Holy Spirit to help us do this. And when we do this, we can be like Jesus when his disciple on his inner circle, amen, deceived him. When the people that he had healed earlier during the week, and they were crying Hosanna, and they were excited about him, now wanted to take his life. And sometimes life is cruel and unusual and has its ups and downs, and people will turn their back on you, and situations, circumstances will come in and try to turn your life upside down. But if you go to the Lord often and tell him about your situation and tell him that this is spirit is strong, but the flesh is weak. When you tell him, I need your help, I need your angels, I need your Holy Spirit, I need you to help me to be able to make it through, God will come through time after time. And so that takes us back to James. James saw Jesus up close. He saw what Jesus could do. And my brothers and sisters, when you know what Jesus can do, amen, and when you saw what he was doing, and you said, well, if Jesus did that in order to make it through, Lord knows, amen, I need to do it to help me make it through. Have I got a witness? Amen. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to let others know, amen, that you can make it through with the Lord. No matter what the situation is, no matter what the circumstance is, you can make it, amen, with the Lord. And you can make it with the Lord by having a prayer and faith being preeminent in your life. When you look back over your life, the ones in your life, the ones you know about, the ones you didn't know about, the ones that prayed in advance for you when you didn't know they were praying for you, they were praying the prayer of faith on your behalf. And when you pray the prayer of faith on their behalf, amen, what happens is you're praying to using a tool that God has given you, amen, and having faith that, amen, that as long as I pray in the will of God, amen, by faith I shall receive. And you'll be able to call those things that are not like Elijah as if they were. When Elijah said, let it not rain for 3.5 years, it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And then Elijah turned around also in the will of God and prayed that it would rain, and it rained again. And this is the way that God wants us to be able to relate with him, through prayer and faith. And when you begin to relate to him in prayer and faith, amen, what happens is the situation in your life, amen, will begin to change. And you'll be able to minister to people, amen, because you know what prayer and faith can do. And people will begin to start asking the question, what is it about her? What is it about him that they can have this spirit about them, that even in the midst of the trial, even in the midst of the circumstance, even in the midst of the ups, even in the midst of the backbiters, even in the midst of the liars, even in the midst of the challenges financially and physically and mentally, even in these challenges, they still have a testimony, amen, about how good God is. They still have a praise on their lips. They still have joy on the inside. What is it about them that that they can look at a situation that looks one way and have the perspective, amen, to say it's not going to be that way all the time. There's many of you that I've seen come to the altar of God, amen, with a situation in your spirit, a situation in your family, and you brought it to the altar of God, and you put it on God's altar, and you said, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to have faith that God is going to turn this situation around. I'm going to say that one more time, and you've come, and you said, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to have faith in God that God's going to do something about this situation. And I'm going to pray the prayer of faith and believe that God is the one, amen, that can change this situation. I've seen you come Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. I've seen you continue Monday through Saturday going to God in prayer and trusting that God is going to turn the situation around. I'm still looking. I'm still depending. I'm still leaning on God in my prayer and my faith. And so people around you begin to start wondering, what is it? How can this thing be that even though the situation hasn't turned around, that you're still praising God, that you're still giving God the glory? And the reason is that God has given you his spirit on the inside, and that old man, that old nature that wouldn't trust God, that didn't believe God, that wanted to do their will, is different now. It's not the same. Somebody says, since the Lord has come into my life, I look at my hands and my hands look new. I look at my feet and my feet look new. In other words, God has changed me to a person that not concerned about my will, but my will is want to be surrendered over to God's will. And in the 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter in verse 17, Paul says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. In other words, because I'm a new creature, a new creation in Christ, what I can do is behave and act like Christ. And so I'm okay with not having my will be done. But when I have the humility and the ability to surrender my will over to God and realize that God knows what's best for me and that God is working it out on my behalf, then I can continue to be an ambassador for Christ and continue to tell other people that even in the midst of sorrow, even in the midst of disappointment, in the midst of sickness, in the midst of trials in their lives, that they still can be confident and they can still be assured and they can still have a blessed assurance that God is working it out on their behalf, and they can go to the Lord in prayer and faith and know that soon sooner or later, God is going to turn the situation around. And when you have been made a new creation in Christ Jesus, and you can go to the Lord often in prayer, and you can go to the Lord and ask God to help you to make it through the cup situations, and you can go to the Lord and ask him to help you because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. When you go to God and say, God, I need your Holy Spirit and your angels to help me out, you can be like Jesus, and you can make it through the trials and the storms in your life. Have I got a witness today? And I want you to be concern, my brothers and sisters, today, I want you to be confident that just like God was with Jesus in the beginning of his ministry and all through his ministry to the end of his ministry, that God will be with you and I the same way. God would allow us to be able to get through the difficult times in our lives, but we got to be like Jesus. And I can only imagine in my own mind, as Jesus had his fellas turn their back on him, when they couldn't even stay up and pray with him an hour, when he was struggling in his spiritual body, when he was struggling in his physical body, when he understood that those that said Hosanna during early part of the week were the same ones that were crying crucify him on the end of the week. See, folk can get funny when it doesn't go their way, when it doesn't work out their way, but when God has his way in your life, when the Holy Spirit has taught you that God's will is best for you, when you understand that God is the one that knows the beginning from the end, you can be like Jesus and say, Father, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You can say, Father, if this cup is possible, have this cup pass for me, but nevertheless, not my will, thy will would be done. You can be like Jesus, that he went off into the Garden of Gethsemane. Some of you say you wear God out. It's me again. It's me. It's me. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Some of us go to the Lord all day long. Have you ever had to pray to God all day long in your Garden of Gethsemane? It might be in the kitchen. It might be in the car. It might be when you're taking out the trash. It might be in the restroom. Your Gethsemane is wherever you go to the Lord in prayer. But you need to let him know, Father, I'm trusting you that your will would be done. I'm going to pray a prayer of faith. I'm going to pray and ask you to have your way. I'm here to tell you, my brothers and sisters, just like Jesus, prayer and faith still work. James said, when you pray the prayer of faith, the death of the sick shall be healed. Aren't you glad today when you pray the prayer of faith that God will have his way? I can imagine that Jesus getting a little weary, reached into his pocket and got out his prayer, put it in the door and turned the key, and his faith gave him the strength. The angels came and gave him the strength to be able to go on and see what the end gonna be. Aren't you glad today that prayer and faith still works? Aren't you glad today that there's been times when you didn't know how you was going to make it, but you stretched your hand to God? You said, Father, I stretch my hand to thee. No other help I know. If you withdraw yourself from me, whither should I go? So I go to the Lord in prayer and faith. I want to let you know today that prayer and faith still works. He's still working it out. He's still making ways out of no way. Keep going to the Lord in prayer and faith. And watch God. Watch God. Watch God turn the situation around. Watch God bring you out. Watch God build up. Watch God turn down. Watch God make a way. I'm here to tell you that prayer and faith will continue to work. It'll continue to work. And if it was good enough for Jesus, Lord have mercy, it's got to be good enough for us. But don't go to the Lord if you can go to him. Don't go to him in prayer if you can go to him in faith. James said, if you're wavering, you might as well not even ask. You got to go through prayer and faith. When you pray that prayer and you have faith in God that he's going to work it out, that prayer is the key to the kingdom and faith unlocks the door. When you have that prayer, you know that it's going to be in the words of Matthew, that thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And when you pray the will of God on heaven and earth agree, the will of God on heaven and earth agree, then you know, amen, that the prayer of faith has, amen, come, the will of God in your life. James talk about Elijah. Look at Jesus. Look at Paul. I can go on and on. The prayer of faith is what's going to allow us to be able to get through our earthly situations. The only thing that Jesus used, amen, to help him to get through his earthly situation, his earthly assignment. We all have earthly assignments, and Jesus prayed that he's going to take us out of the world. In other words, we're going to complete our assignment. Amen? We're going to complete it. And he's given us the Holy Spirit, placed it in us. But we got to take that power of the Holy Spirit to God and faith, and whatever challenges come our way, whatever the situation come our way, just like the situation came and all of those that were before us, pray that prayer of faith, and the kingdom of God will align and agree, and the situation will work out according to the will of God in our lives, and that God will get the glory and we will get the blessings from God. Amen? I know I said a lot, but I want you to understand. You got to understand that the prayer of faith still works. So get there often, wherever your Gethsemane is. Let God know what the situation, the circumstance is. Talk to him just like I'm talking to you right now. And when you get a little weary and you get a little worn down, God will send an angel and give you the strength. And you'll be like, I didn't never would have made it. I didn't know how I'd make it. It was God that came in and gave you the strength. God that strengthened Jesus at the beginning of his earthly ministry. God that strengthened him all through his ministry. It's God that strengthened him at the end of his ministry that he could go to Calvary's cross and die for the sins of the world. Amen. And this is what God wanting us to do. He's wanting us to carry out our assignment with his power, with his strength, relying on him so that the will of God can be done, that he can get the glory, and that we will be able to be blessed, and that we will be able to have life, eternal life, and that we will be able to live in this world with life and have life more abundantly. Amen. Amen. And amen. Prayer of faith still works. Let us pray. Merciful God, our Father, we thank you. We thank you, God, for allowing us to see your word clearly. We thank you for the spirit that you have given us and we felt today. God, we pray that you would continue to allow us to experience your anointing, God, and that we would continue to follow the examples of Jesus, and that we would continue to pray the prayer of faith, that those things that are in heaven will be done here on earth, and that your will be done in our lives, and that you will get the glory, oh God, that we will be blessed by your will being done in all of our lives. And now may your love, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, continue to rest, rule, and abide with us both now and forever. And let the redeemed of the Lord sing together. Amen. 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 Do yourself a favor. Call somebody. Let them know that you love them in Jesus' name and that you're praying the prayer of faith on their behalf. Know that God is working it out for their good. God bless you. May heaven ever smile upon you. Pray that you have a great week this week. God bless.